Hey, this is Giancarlo Floria from Face Edge. You are listening to Power Rock Podcast with my bro, Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Yeah! Check it out.
Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, hard rock, metal, speed metal, contemporary, melodic rock, we got it all. And today is no different, because I have on the line smoking guitarist and vocalist Giancarlo Floridia from Faith's Edge. Giancarlo, welcome to the show.
Jim. What's up, bro?
Hey, how you doing, my friend? Giancarlo, man, I got to tell you, what an honor and a privilege it is to have you take your time, man, to give me a call, brother. I've been a huge fan of Faith's Edge. This is going to be awesome, man. We're going to play some killer tunes off your CD. Going to get some great history, man. You know, just thank you so much for calling, man.
Oh, thanks, man. I like your work. Like I was saying, I listen to your interview the other week with Bill Everday, and I just loved it. You know, I've been listening to Firehouse since I was 11 now, when I was 11. So it was interesting. So I like your work, so I'm a fan of your work, so this is great.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words, brother. You know, Giancarlo, I'll tell you what. How about we just go back a little bit? I know you're working on some projects, and I want to build up to that. So how about I turn this over to you? And, you know, just give the listeners, you know, some history about yourself and, you know, where did the birth of Faith Edge start? And, you know, like I said, we'll just kind of roll with this, man, and see what happens. So the floor is yours, my friend.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, there's about a 10-year space that I took off when I was 21. I had a band, did a showcase over at Sony Music for John Kolodner's label. And almost got signed by them, and we were playing everywhere out here in Orange County and opening up for all these guys. And to make a long story short, I took a well-needed break after that situation to spend more time with my kids and do things. And, you know, it was weird from going to 21 and trying to make it a business and almost getting signed to a big label to just completely being a dad. So I figured if it ever needed to be fixed or would ever work out for me, it would. And then sure enough, you know, I got back in the studio and did this first Faith Edge record about 3.5 years ago now, 2011, so 4 years ago, I think, and got signed a few months later in Europe and then a distribution deal in the U.S. and all that good stuff, so which leads to doing 2 records with them and then now working on this third, and then we're going to do a fourth. We already have plans for a fourth. It's wild, man. You take a break and did the right thing at the time, and I'm happy about that, and it still worked out for me anyway, so it's pretty cool.
You talked about being 21, and then, yeah, you know, the children, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're facing your dream, everything's about to unload. What type of emotions did that have on you? You know, what is it? Was there anything in particular that you really struggled with making the family and the business separation?
Yeah, I mean, the part that was hard about it for me was from going to playing all these big shows. We opened up for Rat, Slaughter, Wasp, and all these things, did the Sony thing in 1 year. From going to, like, playing all these shows, everybody's screaming and being your best friend to nobody being around, that was difficult. I did the right thing. I had 2 kids, and without getting too heavy into trashing anybody, I needed to do what I needed to do. They weren't going to take care of themselves. So I did that, and like I said, within hopes that if something was going to work out, it was going to work out anyways. But looking back on it, it kind of was better because, you know, I'm a better writer now, and my voice is stronger, and it just wasn't meant to be at the time, you know, and it's a little frustrating seeing the changes between now and then. Back then, there was like all these big labels of this and that. Now it's kind of like everything's more independent and you're lucky to even have a deal. So it's a frustrating business, you know, and that's just how it is. And the people that stick around and survive, they keep going because they love it. And people that don't, you know. And so I kind of got the best because I'm still in my 30s and I got to see my kids grow up. I'm still doing it anyway. So it worked out. There's no regrets at all.
Right. You know, you originally got signed. And up to date, you know, have you seen improvement or a decline in the music industry as a whole today?
Well, obviously a decline, but I think it's because people aren't interested in becoming a musician anymore. I mean, back then, which wasn't that long ago, but still there was still money to be made. So people were interested in becoming a rock star. People aren't interested in it anymore because there's no rock star money to be made. Might as well go to work, you know, and that's what's kind of happening. And same with a lot of the established bands. Why aren't you putting out records? Well, why? They just make more money playing out. You know, it costs money to record and do all this stuff, promotion and blah, 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 blah. So I see a decline in music in general. I mean, there's no stores. Back then there was stores. It's a different world. I see, though, an improvement in, I think, style, approaches, blends of music. You can like metal and you can like pop. You can like this, you can like that. It's a little bit mixed. So if you want to find a band from Japan that's amazing, or a band from Sweden that's amazing, or a band that's from the States or Italy or wherever, that's what I think the bigger improvement is. You could say to your friend, hey, check out this band in Europe. Back when, you know, there were all the record stores, you wouldn't really get European bands. Or, you know, I found out a band called X Japan that I've been listening to since I was a kid. I luckily found out about them because my friend was from Japan. Now you could just go, hey, there's this band from Japan. You got to see here. Go on YouTube. So there's positives and negatives. The positive is, as an artist, when I did the thing with Sony, there would have been a lot of regulations from the label. Now it's kind of like, put your own album together, you submit it to the labels, either they want it or they don't. So you get a little bit more artistic freedom. So there's negatives and positives. Technology, that's totally different. That's really negative. I mean, it's good for people that are, I think, really talented and have it together and you can play and boom, you get the album done quicker and a better budget, but then there's also a lot of cheating going on. So, you know, it's good and bad.
Let's go back and talk about the album, The Answer of Insanity. Now, with that particular album, who were you signed with at that time?
So both albums were done through Scarlet Records in Italy and distributed through E1 Entertainment One in America. And, you know, you can get it anywhere on Amazon around the world. So yeah, Scarlet Records and E1 Distribution.
There's a few tracks that we're going to play on that particular album. I had gone ahead and I've chosen the tracks, and one of them that I have chosen is called Revolve My World.
Yeah.
I think it's a great song.
Got a lot of good feed. A lot of the stations played that one, and it's just a straight up metal arena rock track. And, you know, I noticed that when I started writing this third one. The response, I got a lot of good divide. It's got an old school, like, 80s thing with up-to-date lyrics. Yeah, I noticed a lot of people dug that song. So I take notes from when people say, hey, I dug that track. And Revolve My World did get a lot of response.
Oh, I'll tell you what, man. Let's let the listeners hear Revolve My World with Faith's Edge on Power Rock Podcast. Turn it up. We are back with Giancarlo Floridia of Faith's Edge. Giancarlo, man, that song just rocks. I love the riffs. The vocals are killer, man. Well done, my friend. Well done.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good one. I dig it. And it's got that scream, I think, at the end. So,
yeah, right on.
Some high note.
Right on. Yeah. You've had some changes in the lineup, you know, throughout the course of this journey that you're on. Why don't you go ahead and let the listeners talk about some new members and, you know, give them an idea or a transition and how this all took place.
Fabrizio Grossi produced the first two records. So it was myself, Fabrizio, handling all the bass and production, Tony Mora on drums, Alex DeRosso on lead guitar, and we didn't have any keys on the first record. And what happened was, you know, the first one was more like a straight-up melodic rock return type album with some metal hooks and stuff like that, prog rock in there, and kind of slapped together. It came out really melodic and cool. The second one, we added some keyboards, so we had Eric Ragno, who's did a great job. If you listen to that, Comes Crashing Down and Pray for This. And strange enough, towards the tail end of the album, I was contacted by Alessandro Direccio, and he's the guy, the big guy, you know, in Europe that's doing all these great records, and I'm a huge fan of his stuff. So he got in contact with me on Facebook. We started chatting, and he said he liked that first record, and I'm like, we're almost done with the second, and the light bulb went off in my head, and I'm like, dude, we're kind of finishing with, will you drop some keys on one song? So he played on a track called Until You're Home on the last record that, strange enough, I wrote about my daughter. So kind of last minute thing. And towards the end of the record, you know, it was apparent that Fabrizio is doing less production and getting more involved with promotions in Europe and concert shows and things like that, you know. And Alessandro's doing really good and he really understands what's going on in the melodic scene. I mean, from doing Hardline to the whole Revolution Saints thing to all the projects at Frontiers Records to his talents on keys. I mean, the guy is the guy. And so we started talking about him producing the next record, and we started talking about, well, what is it that we want to do with Faith's Edge? And one thing with Faith's Edge was, it was kind of like me with a bunch of guys, like a full band, but more like a project type thing, I guess, people were kind of picking up. And so Alessandro and I said, well, why don't we make it a little bit more like a band? And so we kept, of course, Alex DeRosso on lead guitar because his guitar playing in my voice is just like, oh my God. So Fabrizio used to play the bass on the album, so we had to find a bass player. So talks were around, and I was friends with Tim Gaines from Striper, and I'm like, I don't know if he'll do it because, you know, he's so successful with Striper and this and that. I hit him up about it, and I sent him a song on the new album called Let You Breathe, and boom, he was in. I think maybe the song got him locked in, or I'm not sure. That happened, so Tim was in, and then Matt Starr from Ace Frehley's band, a fan of his, and Mr. Big, he plays drums for Mr. Big now, knew him. I was playing in a cover band on weekends, and he sat in one night, and I was like, oh my God, Matt Starr's playing with us, and we played on stage, and I was just like, oh my God, if something were to ever happen where I was going to change any member of the band on drums, I would want Matt to play. And Matt lives here in L.A., so we're close. And I see him all the time. I go see his band and, you know, hang out, and they bring me on stage, and it's fun. So when it came time with Alessandro and I to figure out what we were going to do, you know, Tim and Matt just seemed to be the perfect match on what I was looking for. So me and Alex DeRosso stayed the same. Then Alessandro on keyboards and production, and then Tim and Matt on bass and drums. So I'm a big fan of theirs. So when you guys hear the next record, everybody's going to be really happy. Their part's already done, and it is amazing.
That's you know, it's got to be, for yourself, it's got to be quite an honor to be able to work with such gifted and well-respected artists in the industry today.
It is. I mean, for me, there's so many funny connections. My brother brought home a Striper album when I was 11. So to be working with Tim when we were working on this album, I was like, you know, asking him, hey, want to try this or that on bass? For me, it's uncomfortable in a way. I had to tell him, like, Tim, I feel so weird because I'm such a big fan, and you have so much experience, and you guys have sold millions of records. So for me to tell him, hey, do you try this? You know, can you try that? I feel weird asking you. And he's like, dude, just, it's all good. So working with Tim was an absolute pleasure. He's amazing, so easy to work with. Actually, we're going to be writing together for the next record. So we just hit it off. I mean, I've known him since I was 18. I met him and his wife in Fullerton, and strange enough, I met the drummer Matt Starr in Fullerton years later. So they were a part of my life, almost family. You know, they helped me during really bad times in my life, and to be playing with Tim, it only makes sense to me. And same with Matt. Matt is just an attack machine. He really gets singing and vocals, so when I'm singing, he's just slamming away and doing it just right, and he sings too, and these guys just, it's just, I don't know, when you hear it, everybody's going to know this. To me, it's just an amazing lineup, and everybody's going to love it. And with Alessandro's big productions and songwriting knowledge, and I can't say enough good things. And with Alex DeRosso still playing all the solos and technically and as a friend, I'm just really happy about the lineup, as you can tell. So.
Well, you know what? Obviously, we're the CD, or the album rather, you know, it's still in production, and, you know.
Almost done.
It's almost done. However, I think what we should do is give the listeners a taste of each of these artists that you had mentioned that have joined Faith's Edge. And why don't we go ahead and start with Mr. Tim Gaines, the bass player for Striper. And here's the song we're going to play, No More Hell to Pay. Turn it up here on Power Rock Podcast.
We'll be right back.
are back with Giancarlo. You know, Giancarlo.
There's some high notes on that song, man.
Dude, you know, I mean, you know, Michael Sweet, you know, they're all just unbelievable. You know, over 30 years of history, you know, it's still going strong today. And hats.
Oh, I love the new direction of the band. They're heavier, sounds better. I told Tim that, you know, on the side when we were working online, I'm like, man, I just want to let you guys know what you guys are doing with the band now. I like even more, like heavier, it's less poppy, it's like, and even like the blabbermouth crowd, I like to call it, that like to attack musician stuff, you know, even they've converted to like, man, Striper's great, you know, so the proof is in their persistence and keep going and improving the band. So I like them more than ever before. I really like the direction they've taken.
Do you ever see yourself in the future of actually taking a band, putting it together, going on the road?
You never know. I'd like to do some shows with this lineup in Europe. You know, if we can, without saying too much, you know, with me and Alessandro, some of the plans, you know, depending on some things, it would be nice to go to Europe and do some shows. On the road? No, not right now. There's no way. Right now I'm focusing on this and writing another record. And hopefully, if we get the right promotion with this lineup on both the albums, then maybe something good can happen.
Giancarlo, the next question I want to ask you is, as a musician, an artist, working with such professionals as you do, do you find yourself at times just completely discouraged and, you know, want to hang this up because it's not going the way that you would like to see it go?
You know, it comes down to a lot of things. I'm realistic. And like we were talking about earlier, the industry's not the way it was. I know if tons of money and MTV and all these things that we used to have, and boom, 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 I think it would be taken to the next level. But unfortunately, because people don't buy music, it changes things. The labels don't have as much money to push the band. They don't have as much money to go put them on tour. You know, guys like me, the reason why you don't see many of us, because we're kind of giving our all on our own. I mean, I think one of the reasons I've been able to do so much on the sites and all these websites, Brave Words and MelodicRock.com and Blabbermouth, where I've been on there, is because I'm one of the few new guys that's doing it. Not really frustrating to see the other guys in my band have had so much success, because I kind of feel like I'm just getting started again. With that in mind, when I wrote this record, me and Alessandro, and Alessandro's doing all this big songwriting for everybody, I kind of said to Ali, can I write the record on my own? No co-writers, no nothing, because I wanted to show everybody that even though we got this big all-star lineup, that I wrote the album on my own, because I knew that's been one of the things with the band. I'll write all these songs, and people are assuming that I didn't write them, because I'm working with these all-star players. So I made it clear that that's what I would like to do. And Alessandro amazingly said, yes, I know you can do it. I'd submitted some songs, and I think he really knew it. And so I'm hoping this album will set apart where people go, wow, Gian wrote this whole record on his own and got these all-star things. So it's not just going to be a super group. It has a soul. It has a songwriter and a guy who's also doing that. So I'm not frustrated. I feel good about it. I kind of feel like this album is a new beginning, and I'm looking at it positive and thinking only more better things are going to come out of the new lineup and the new album.
Let's go back to the album, The Answer of Insanity. Next song I want to play is called When I Lost You. How about some history about that, brother?
When I Lost You was the first song I wrote for the record. It has a little bit of connection if you listen to the first album, because I almost got it in time done for the first record. I really like it. One thing I would have redone is layered the living crap out of the chorus. When he goes, didn't that say it was over? I would have put like 20 vocals on there. I would have made it so 80s cheeseball on purpose. But me and Fabrizio were going very stripped down on the production, real nasty and edgy. And, you know, we wanted that. It's cool. It's like really hooky. It's really upbeat. And, you know, When I Lost You is about discouragement of losing people to drugs and alcohol addiction, and accepting that somebody you love may have been overtaken by these things, and the frustration you go through, and it sucks. And that's what the song's about, but I really dig it. I love Alex DeRosa's guitar solo. It is blazing. Listen to that. It's cool. I mean, I love it. Song, and one of my favorite songs.
With that being said, man, here it is. When I Lost You, with Faith's Edge on Power Rock Podcast. Turn it up.
bills, say goodnight. Forget the promises you call love with the things that you do. All the lies and the people you hang around. Made up your mind, you can't do this anymore. You start to tell me that your world is turning gray. Couldn't look inside your heart, I can't make you find your way. Didn't have to say it was over. No more running from the truth. Nothing else that I could do when I lost you. Won't be easy, but I won't stand here and watch you die. Give up on all that we went through when I lost you.
Fun yet, man, or what?
There's a lot of rocking going on today, man. We got a lot of, there's a lot of energy going on today.
Absolutely, man. You know, as a vocalist, who would you say that would be, I hate to use the word influence, but I guess I'm going to. You know, who would be the person that,
You know, I always throw everybody this right curve, and people are like, huh? But my favorite singing group is actually The Temptations. I am a huge fan of Motown vocals. One, because I knew it was very real, and they had to click the recording button, and boom, here you go. And there's so many things, especially with The Temptations, that I found amazing, whether that's the different vocal styles. You had like this gritty David Ruffin, and then you had Eddie Kendricks with this high falsetto, and then you had the low, you know, thing that Melvin Harris used to do, and then you had Paul and Dennis and all these different singers that were just incredible, that can do leads on their own, but they all had a little bit of a different style to them. So I figured if I could kind of comp, kind of like get something going where I could sing ballads, I could sing metal, I could sing rock songs, you know, it got me inspired to learn all these different styles and put it into one song, one package as me as a singer, but keeping a general tone of my voice where you go, oh, that's Gian singing. And that's my favorite all time. Like, if you had to say, go to a desert island, who are you going to study? I'd say the Temptations. Now, metal, you got Halford, which is obviously the Screams and stuff. I like Michael Sweet a lot. I like Tony Harnell a lot. For metal, those guys. I like hard rock, like the 80s. I like Richard Marx and Bryan Adams a lot. What other? Those are probably the main guys. I mean, I love old Jeff Tate, the Mind Crime and Empire stuff, and Promised Land. A lot of that, like, operatic type power vocals. There's just so many types of singing that I like for so many different reasons. And I think it kind of worked in my favor because, like, even when you heard the new record that's going to come out, you go, oh, it's Face Edge, as soon as I start singing, because I didn't kind of put a label, I'm going to sound like the guy from AC/DC, or I'm going to sound like this dude. I kind of got my own little thing going, and it's cool. It's opened up doors for me because people are going, oh, let's get Gian because his voice is him. Not any questioning about who I am as a singer, but probably because there's so many different types I'm into. I didn't focus on, I want to sound just like Halford. I want to sound just like Jeff Tate. I want to sound just like this guy. So there's so many singers that are just so incredible, and I'm always learning more. And yeah, I love voice, as we know it.
Well, that's great to know, you know, because rumor has it that, you know, you're a huge Nickelback fan, you know.
Oh!
And, you know, I thought for sure, you know, that you were going to pull that card. But, yeah, you kind of caught me off guard, buddy.
I did. I wrote not a suicide note, but like a depression letter on Facebook when somebody compared one of the songs. Well, he didn't say the song. He said there was one part on one song that reminded him of Nickelback, which he doesn't recall. He just figured he'd write in the review. Somebody in Germany, and I contacted the website and said, hey, who reviewed this album? And he gave it a great review. And I said, we need to do an interview for your site in Germany. And I did, and he was like, I had found out you were very upset that I compared you to Nickelback. I'm like, yeah, I went off on him. He was so cool about it. Some part of the song somehow reminded him of Nickelback. I don't know, but yeah, you know, Nickelback, man, forever.
You know, good. That's funny, man. I had to put that in there, like I said, because I'm just being a smart ass, man, and you know, I gotta mess with you. Yep,
it is all good. That's what makes us fun.
Back to now the album that is in the works.
Yes, Face Edge 3. Yes.
Okay. You've talked about.
We're thinking about it, calling it Restoration. So yeah, Alessandro, he joined on briefly for one song on the last album, like the tail end. You know, being a big fan, I said, "Hey, can you come on real quick?" And he did, and it was great. So him taking over production, I'm a huge fan of that Hardline album, the Danger Zone record, which really, if I wasn't going to work with Fabrizio, I was kind of like, okay, who's the guy who I would work with? And Alessandro. And that album, you know, Danger Zone, the production he did, and his keyboard playing on it, and he did the songwriting mainly on it. I was like, this is who I want to work with for the next record. I mean, if you listen to that record or his new thing he did with Revolution Saints, there's a list of things he's doing. But the Hardline one, that Hardline record made me finalize in my mind that here's who I want to work with producing the next record. And we're working together. It's an absolute pleasure. And when you guys hear the final result, you're going to know it's the best Face Edge album we've done.
And what would you say your most favorite Hardline song is?
I like, of course, the first record. There's a song called When Love Leads the Way. I don't know what album it was on or if it was a bonus track, but it's a really good song. But on the Danger Zone record, I like a song called Look at You Now a lot. I like Fever Dreams is also really cool to have a video for that. So the whole end, and I told him I like the end of the record the most, the last four songs. Show Me Your Love and You're the Only One. I mean, they're just listening, and Johnny singing is like, whoa. He's another one of those guys where it's like, he's still a killer singer. So, but yeah, Alessandro's been great to work with, and I'm a fan of his writing and all that, and all the stuff he did for Hardline, too. It's phenomenal.
And you did say Fever Dreams, right? I mean,
Fever Dreams, yeah.
That's kind of ironic, because that is the tune I chose to play on this interview with you. So I'll tell you what, here it is, Fever Dreams with Hardline on Power Rock Podcast. Turn it up. Thank you. We are back with the man, Giancarlo Floridia of Face Woo! Edge.
We're having fun, right?
Brother, it don't get no better than this. You know, let's back up here, man. You know, this is totally cool, man. Here you are on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast in the mountains of absolutely nowhere. And yet, a connection has been made of friends talking about music, having a good time, and just enjoying life, man. However,
yeah, like you're saying, man, it's about being around positive people in your life. I mean, there's positive and negative people. I've learned that. There's people that have came in my life that have just been nasty and mean, and I got them out, and it ended up being positive for me getting out. And then there's people, you know, you got two types of people. You got people that are going to uplift you and help you out, and people that are going to drag you down. And it sucks because you wish everybody would be uplifting. You know, I'll read interviews, like reviews on them. They'll give me a 9 out of 10. Then I'll read some, they'll be like 4 out of 10. How could it be one or the other? You know, you just have people that are negative and trying to mess you over, and you have people that are trying to uplift you. Like, for example, you're one of the people that are into what I'm doing. I have other people in Europe that want to wring my neck and say nasty things about me that have never met me. You know, it's very discouraging. So I try to focus on the positive and be around positive people, because for one, the negative people, it's pretty sad they got to do that. And that's how it should be, I think. And that's the kind of people I want to be around.
In your lyrics that you write, what is it that you want fans, friends, family, what do you want to see them get out of your work?
You know, I went through some bad times, man. I went from, like we were talking about earlier, showcasing for Sony Music, for John Kalodner's Portrait Records. You know, this is the guy that did Aerosmith. This is the guy that did Boston. You know, from going to that to losing everything, man, to being... losing everything, my family, and just all sorts of bad stuff, and ended up in Long Beach, you know, staying in a hotel with my son, you know, in my mid-20s, to turning it around, getting it together, getting a record deal, being in magazines all the world, being in interviews all over the world. So with that being said, Face Edge is all about that. It's about recognizing the world ain't a perfect place. We're still going to go for it anyways, and we're still going to fight. I don't like being floofy about it. I like bringing over the dark side, as you can hear on the Answer of Insanity. I wanted to release that on the album, like, hey, I did go through a dark period. And now the third album will take you into where I'm at now. Like, here's what I went through, but everything turned out okay. You know, and I think that's the message behind Face Edge. It's kind of like, go for your dream, no matter what. Things might look terrible, but you know what? Tomorrow can be better. It doesn't always have to be worse. So I think that's the overall message of Face Edge, being realistic and accepting the truth, but also trying to move ahead.
Awesome, man. Positive. You know, you're going in a positive direction, and your lyrics is in a, you know, it's focused on just bringing people together, you know, talking about some real life stuff. Whether it's dark or happiness, you know, it's life, man. And, you know, I think, of course, you know, a lot of artists, you know, they will write with life experiences. However, there's a few, no names, of course, that just put shit on paper and record it and game over. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I just...
We got a rule, man. We don't talk bad about any bands other than Nickelback, okay? That's okay. No.
Right on. You talked about Matt Starr and Mr. Big. Yes. Again, now they did, they were with Ace Frehley.
Yeah, Matt did the Space Invader record and did a phenomenal job. I mean, his drumming is just great on it. He's so solid. Then he stopped playing with Ace to join Mr.
Big. Oh, okay.
So Pat got their drummer, I believe, got Parkinson. And so... Matt and Pat are both on the road together, so Matt plays drums in Mr. Big now, and Pat goes on the road with them, and it's really cool. I've seen some of the stuff on YouTube. I'd check it out. Like, you know, so it's like, it's cool. You got Matt and Pat, the original drummer, both on stage. It's really neat, and it's pretty exciting, you know, to see Matt doing that, knowing him as a friend, and and getting a big opportunity and, you know, going on his Facebook and seeing that he got to play Budokan in Japan, sold out. I got a little jealous on that one, you know, and, but he's such a great guy and he deserves it. And he's been a pleasure to work with on this album. His drumming on the album, it's like a freaking machine gun on the new record. Hanging out with him, you know, since he's local, you know, thing about Face Edge is either Alex DeRosa's in Italy or Alessandro's in Italy. Tim Gaines is in Nashville. Matt's the closest to me here in L.A. So I'll text him, what are you doing? Are you playing? Are you, you know, so it's kind of cool because now I got a friend in Face Edge that's a little bit more local to me. So Matt's a great guy, and I'm looking forward to, you know, working with him on the next album, too. He's great.
Killer. You know what, man? Why don't we go ahead and play Ace Frehley Space Invaders here on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Yeah.
You know this planet has been in trouble for a thousand years. We've all been blind. There's no time to waste. Give up the struggle. We must embrace our host. Give it up for me. Survival.
right, man. We are back with Giancarlo.
We want Toby to talk... hits hard on them drums.
Yeah,
man. Hard drummer, man.
You know, it's an incredible song. Everything from Hardline, Striper, Faith's Edge, and you know,
there's going to be high expectations of the next record, man.
Right on, exactly.
And we'll meet them. The songs are there, and fortunately, the chemistry with Alessandro, Matt, and Tim, because me and Alex DeRosa already had our thing from the first two albums. So the new chemistry with the three new guys is really hit off. So that was the most important part to me. I had the songs all ready to go. I was kind of like, not only have they played in great projects, but we play together as a band.
Let me ask you this. As you well know, social media has exploded. The internet has taken over. What's your feelings as far as, doing music digitally, you know, compared to the older days where everybody had to get in a room, you know, and record that way? What's your feelings on that? Do you feel that it's an...
That's a good one. This album I wrote on my own. So it was easy. The producer, Alessandro, made it easy for us. He's so amazing that it was like, if we were to all work together in a room, it'd be awesome too. It would probably be like a big fun time and everybody getting along and a family reunion type thing, you know. And I know, you know, Matt and Tim, you know, hopefully when Tim comes out, plays with Striper, we're going to get together and do photos in a few months. You know, it's there's that part where you can tell it'd be so cool to all hang out and that. Matt Starr played with at Frontiers Rock Festival. Alessandro went on stage with Matt and his band called Burning Rain with Doug Aldrich, and they got to go on stage together. And I saw the pictures. I'm like, this is great. Fortunately, having Alessandro producing and really guiding the ship has made it really easy. What the difference would be between the two? There might be a difference, but fortunately, everybody's worked together so well. It's just been great as musicians. There's not been a lot of gel, like all the ideas. Somebody would do something and then, or I'll hear something Matt did or something Tim did or some approach Alessandro gave me on the vocals. And it's been so good doing it this way for me that it's hard to kind of think of it another way at this point. In other words, I don't mind doing it the way we're doing it with technology and sending the files from Italy to Nashville to LA, back to Italy. You know, it's working great.
You know, Giancarlo, I want to ask you one more question. We're going to play another track and we're going to go ahead and close this out. Here it is. You know, but for the listeners that are not in the business, what words of encouragement would you like to leave by?
I would say, first and foremost, my kids, you know, that's what's most important to me. You know, when I'm working on songs, I think, oh, how are they going to remember me? This is how they're going to remember their dad. Well, my dad sang good, or my dad knew how to write, and he went for a goal. So I'm hoping it's going to put something in them in the future. You know, I don't know till that happens. Could even be when I'm gone. I'm hoping that they're going to be like, oh, I remember when my dad did this and that. Maybe I should do something like that. So first and foremost, that's how I want to be remembered by them, that a dad that loved them and fought for them and all that good stuff. Now, to my friends and stuff, I would say I just want to be remembered as their friend and guy who brought them some music into their life and made them smile. And for a moment, I did something for them with music that kind of took them out of a lot of the, should I say, shitholes of this world and maybe put them for a moment at somewhere that brought them something cool, you know? I think that's how I want to be remembered, the guy that wrote music, try to make people have a better life.
I think that's a great answer, man. And back to the album, The Answer of Insanity. We're going to play one more track here. And it's called Destroy You.
Can we go from positive to...
I know. It's kind of twisted, but that's just how it came out, man. So, you know, how about some history on that?
No, you know, Destroy You is about... the name came to me at first. I remember writing it on a piece of paper. And, you know, destroy sounds so harsh, but it's actually about fighting those things in life. It's about your head problems, meaning what you're thinking and negativity. So destroy you is kind of like, it can do that, but you're going to fight through it anyways. So it does have a, you know, the title comes out harsh and the music is slamming hard, heavy. If you listen to the word, it's saying, this can happen to you, you know, and it's about fighting through that. You know, sometimes you got to cross over those dark territories to get your point across, I guess.
Well, here it is. Destroy You.
Crank it up. Heavy.
On Power Rock Podcast. Say again, as I said at the beginning of the show, I truly thank you from the bottom of my heart, you taking your time, man, and just giving me this opportunity to share your experiences, giving me the opportunity to enjoy your music and spreading it to others. And I just thank you for who you are, and
appreciate,
you know, you've got a heart of gold. I truly respect you as an individual. I want the utmost best.
Hey, man, it's going to be good. And, you know, this is just the beginning. That's how I'm looking at it. And we'll do another one. For me, I can't wait for you to hear the new stuff, man. When we sit here again, hopefully in 6 months or less or whatever, when the album's released, you're going to be like, oh, my God, we talked about this. You're really in, everybody, all my friends, family, anybody listening to Space Fest is really in for a melodic treat. It's a very melodic. It is a return to old school metal with the lyrics that I'm known to do, which are stories about life and experience. But the music is very old school, upbeat, arena rock. So it's going to bring a lot of excitement to people that are looking for an album like that, with tons of hooks and arena rock bass and drumming and guitar solos and keys and production. So, I appreciate it. And their success is in people being happy, and I think they're going to find that, you know, on the next album and the one after that we'll do. So there's a lot in the future planned with this lineup.
Killer, my friend. Well, there you have it. Oh, you're welcome, buddy. There you have it, man. An interview with Giancarlo Floridia of Face Edge here on Power Rock Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. Peace.